This is our last service in 2012. And we have a lot to be thankful for. God has been good to us in so many different ways. As we look back on all of His wonderful blessings upon our lives this year. And by the time we gather again together next week, it will be the new year, praise God. And so I want us to sing Sanctuary before I speak. And we're going to slow it down. And I really want you to think about the words that you're singing. I really want you to prepare your hearts and your mind for what God is going to do in your life in the new year. And for what God is going to do in this church. And so we're going to sing this together. If you want to sit down, that's fine. If you want to stand up, that's up to you. But most importantly, I want you to really put your heart into it and to think about the awesome God that you and I serve.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. Repeat it again. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true.
One more time.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true. Thanksgiving, I'll be a living sanctuary, Lord, for you.
Let us pray. Our Father, who is in heaven, we want to be a sanctuary for you. Father, we love you, not because of the things that you've done for us, but because of the great God that you are. You are an amazing God. You are an amazing Father. Thank you for allowing us to see the end of another year. We're so grateful, Lord, for all your blessings this year. Thank you, Father, for all the trials and the hardships that we went through. Thank you, Father, for being there for us every step of the way. That, Father, you never left us alone. You were with us even when we had hard times and we're grieving. We're just so grateful, Lord, for the incredible God that you've been to us and you continue to be it for us. Father, as we prepare our minds for the new year, I pray, Lord, that we can serve you with wholehearted devotion. Father, be with us now as we look into your word. I pray that it will transform us into being everything that you've called us to be. We ask and we pray all this in the precious and mighty name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. Go ahead and be turning in your Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. And that's going to be our text this morning. Let me be one of the first people to wish you a happy new year. I hope Santa was good to you. For those of us that are adults, I hope you were good to yourself. Today is the last Sunday of the year. And I want to talk about our theme as a church for the year 2013. And it's coming from this passage I'm about to read. Wholehearted devotion. Next week, right here at this time, our brother Douglas Arthur, the lead evangelist of the Boston Church of Christ, will be our guest speaker. And I want us to use this week to invite our friends and our family members. Doug is one of my favorite preachers. He's a powerful man of God. And this place needs to be packed next week. Amen, church? Amen. And so you should have gotten some invites from your family group leaders that we printed up, you know, for our church. And so talk to them this afternoon. Make sure you get some and start inviting people for next week. It's going to be a great, great time. 1 Chronicles chapter 28, beginning in verse 9. This is David talking to his son Solomon. He says, "And you, my son Solomon, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever." David is talking to his son Solomon. In 1 Chronicles 22 in verse 19, he tells him the same thing. For him to serve God with wholehearted devotion. In 1 Chronicles 29 in verse 19, he actually prays for Solomon, that Solomon again will serve God with wholehearted devotion. Here is a man at the end of his life, at the end of his reign as king. Solomon is coming on the throne. He's beginning his reign. Here's an old man trying to tell his son, "Let me tell you something. It's all about being fully devoted to God. God, 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 God. It's all about God." He's basically saying to Solomon, don't make the same mistakes I made. At this point, David's got some experience. Because he's made some blunders. And he's learned some lessons. He's had some failures and he's had successes. And there's nothing like an old man with wisdom telling a younger person, "Listen to me. I've walked down this road. Don't make the same mistakes I made." And he tells him, "Acknowledge your God." In other words, know your God. Get to know him better. Serve him with wholehearted devotion and with a willing mind. He says, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." David says, if you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will reject you forever. The Greek word for devotion It's pros, excuse me, proskatareho. That's the way it's pronounced, proskatareho. P-R-O-S-K-A-R-T-E-R-E-O, proskatareho. It means to give unremitting care to a thing. It means to continue all the time in a place. The idea is that we're so close to God that we're smothering Him. It's the same Greek word that is used in Mark chapter 3 verse 9. When Jesus says, you know what? Peter, I'm going to get into your boat because they were so close to Him. Same word. That we're so close to God that we're smothering Him. That's the kind of closeness He's talking about. And that's what I want our theme, that's what our theme is going to be as a church in 2013. That we're going to get so close to God that we're smothering God. Amen, church? Amen. We're going to get to know this God a lot better. Everything we do is going to be about knowing God better and serving Him with wholehearted devotion. And so very quickly from this passage, I want to talk about three things. The charge, the reason, and the results. Let's talk about the charge. Like I just read, this is the charge that David gave to his son Solomon. Isn't this the dream of every parent? That our children will get to know this God that you and I serve. That's always been my prayer for my kids. It's never been about my kids, quote unquote, getting baptized. No. I want my kids to know God even better than I do. That's my prayer. I hope that's all of our prayer for our kids. That our kids will get to know this Creator even better than us. You know, I envy a lot of our kids because, you know, a lot of them, quote unquote, grew up in the church. And had a chance to see us and know us at our worst and at our best. But they understood that as parents, we love God and we're trying to serve God. And at their own time, you know, they decided, okay, let me get into the scriptures. Let me get to know this God for myself. And now, a lot of them are Christians today, and I praise God for that. I was baptized, I became a Christian when I was 24. Now, don't get me wrong, I went to church. I was at church every Sunday. I sang the songs. I heard the preaching. But I was not a Christian according to the Bible. I had to make that decision for myself. And I made that when I was 24. You know, I've said this before and I'll say it again. People sometimes ask me, do I have any regrets about being a Christian? No. If I can go back and change anything, I will change the time I became a Christian. I would have made that decision in my teenage years because I wasted a lot of time and I wasted a lot of money doing foolish stuff. Thinking, oh yeah, you know, this is fun. And there was nothing there. I wish I had somebody to have told me, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money. I mean, think about it. All the monies that you and I spent in our teenage years in sin, if you had invested all that money way back when you were 15 and 16, and now you're in your 50s, some of us are in our 60s, that money will be millions right now through the power of compound interest. I mean, think about that. And so David is basically saying to Solomon here, don't waste your time. Serve God with wholehearted devotion. Remember, this is the same God of Abraham. The same God of Isaac. The same God that saved Noah. The same God that Paul preached and Peter preached. That is the same God you and I are calling on. He hasn't changed. The Bible says He's the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's the same God that we're talking about. And if you think, wow, God can be fully known. Again, you're wrong on that one. We got to be growing in our knowledge of Him. Amen? Amen. We serve an amazing God. God is so awesome. Look in Proverbs chapter 3. I know we read this at the beginning of this month. Proverbs chapter 3. It's all about knowing God. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 6, as my father, let's back up. In verse 5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Know Him, basically. And He, God, will make your paths straight. That's an incredible promise. He says, you and I, we don't need to trust in our own understanding. But instead, we need to trust God. We need to get to know God better. We need to acknowledge God in everything we do, the way we live our lives. That's the charge for us. Amen? It says, in all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. You know, several months ago, a sister was having a very hard time at her job. Because in the office, you know, her boss and other people were lying with different things they were doing in the company. And it really bothered her. It was bothering her. And she came and said, what do I do? I said, well, you need to go back to your boss and tell them that is really bothering you, that they need to stop that. She was not involved in it. And she went, spoke to her boss, and said, yeah, you're right. We're going to stop. But they didn't. And so she quit. To me, that's a disciple of Jesus. Because it was bothering her conscience. And lo and behold, she had another interview, you know, to go on another job. And the guy is interviewing her and asking her questions and everything. And at the end, the guy goes, well, do you have any questions for me? So, and she said, here are my terms. I am not going to lie for you if I come work here. Right from the start, I am not going to lie for you. And we're not going to do anything illegal here. Is that good enough for you? The man hired her on the spot. He was so impressed, he called his wife. He goes, we feel that person. You are not going to believe what this woman was telling me. He hired her on the spot. But you see, it's about being devoted to God. Every single day of our lives. That's what it means to be a Christian. God wants 100%. It's not Thursday to Sunday Christianity. You know, I'm a Christian and I act like a Christian when I'm at church. And then the rest of the week I'm doing my own thing. It doesn't work that way. It's 100%. Again, I've used this example before. You know, you and I, we love to go to weddings and people get married. The husband and wife, you know, they're right there in front of the minister. And they make vows to each other. A lot of times, you know, the vows usually go like, for better or for worse. We're in this thing. In sickness and in health. For richer or for poorer. We're in this thing. We're going to be committed to each other for the rest of our lives. Amen? Those are the kind of vows we made. But what happens in the world? It's so sad. A lot of times when people start having financial problems, they go their separate ways. When one spouse gets sick, the other one gets up and leaves. It's terrible. I know several people that has happened to. Their health took a turn for the worse, and their spouse just left them. Where's the devotion? Where's the till death do us part? You know, again, I don't know if you've noticed, there's a trend now where, you know, people have been married for 25, 30 years, and then all of a sudden they get divorced. It's a bad thing. It's terrible. It's almost as if, you know, sometimes people stay together until, the kids leave, they're at home, they go to college, and then once they go to college and they're now they're on their own, honey, see you later. Because now the kids are gone. Now, there are just two of them looking at each other in the house. And that's when whether what you've built is going to last or not. But again, I'm using the marriage as an example. That, you know what, when we said Jesus is Lord, it was for life. That I would die first before I turn my back on Jesus. I would die tonight. That doesn't bother me. I pray very often, God, if you know I'm going to leave you, take my life before that happens. I would rather die today than fall away next week. Because you and I understand that we get only one chance at this life. We can't afford to mess this up. When we die or Jesus comes back before then, it's over. The Bible says we will plead and beg and God say, I never knew you. You know, think about it. You know, I was watching the news earlier this week and I think it was on NBC or CBS, I can't remember. And they were showing, quote unquote, all the famous people that have passed on this year. And, you know, they were putting their pictures and whatever on the screen. And whatever they did, you know, Whitney Houston was on there, Don Cornelius, you know, Andy Griffith, Mike Wallace of 60 Minutes, and Larry Hagman, JR, you remember JR from Dallas? Okay? I mean, a lot of them have passed on this year. They started this year, now they're gone. Now they were in the news because they're famous. We've also lost brothers and sisters this year. One day you and I are not going to be here. I promise you, they're not going to put you on NBC, okay? You're not that famous. I'm not that famous. Not that I want to be on there anyhow. Who cares? But you see, one day we're not going to be here. We got to make sure that we're giving God 100%. Every single day. And it's challenging. Because you know what? When something becomes routine, you got to look for different ways to keep it fresh. And I think that's the challenge we have even as we grow older as Christians. And we got to be very careful that we're not just going through the motions. So yeah, I've been there before. I know what he's going to say next. I know the passage myself, you know. So I'm not going to pay attention. Don't do that. You got to look for ways to keep your relationship with God vibrant. If you've never read through the Bible, let me encourage you in the year 2013 to do it. Read it in a different version. If you're used to reading the NIV, go buy an ESV. The English Standard Version. I was in the store the other day. I love this time of year too because they're basically giving every stuff away. You know, they're trying to clear their inventory. And I got me a New Testament plus Psalms and Proverbs in the Holman Christian Bible for $6. I grabbed that thing immediately. And I've been reading it. So whatever it is, just do something different. Amen? I want you to pay attention to your relationship with God. That's the charge. Wholehearted devotion. Somebody said, a husband who is 85% faithful to his wife is not faithful at all. There is no such thing as part-time loyalty to Jesus Christ. You're either in or you're out. There's no such, well, I'm giving 90%. That's not good enough. We got to be giving our all, amen? I mean, can you imagine husband and wife talking to each other? And the wife or the husband looks at the other and say, well, you know, I'm giving you 70%. Isn't that good enough? Please don't say that. You're asking for a fight. Because 70% ain't good enough. She wants and he wants 100% of you. Amen? That is the way it is supposed to work. Amen? Total loyalty to God. So the question we've got to ask ourselves is this. Before you do that, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. 2 Chronicles 16. Second Chronicles chapter 16, in verse 9. This passage is very encouraging. Talking about Asa, King Asa, this towards the end of his life. The Bible makes this point. It says, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth. Watch this. To strengthen those whose hearts
have fully committed to him. Isn't that awesome? It says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the entire earth. God is not just looking. It says, to strengthen those whose hearts have fully committed to him. Amen? That's exciting. That when you and I make that decision to be wholehearted with God, God will strengthen you. God will give you the power. God will walk with you. Amen? Amen. But that commitment has got to be there first. Think about how good it's been to us this year. Think about it. You and I could not make a list, even if we tried, of all the answered prayers just in 2012 alone. In our lives, in the lives of our loved ones and our family members, if you sat down and took a piece of paper and just started writing stuff down, you would be astonished. God has been so good. Amen? I think he deserves a round of applause. He's been so good to us. And here we are, we're still breathing. I know this Sunday, yes, there's some people out visiting family, but a lot of people are sick. There's something going around. Now, I don't want it, but there's something going around. But you see, we're still here. We're healthy. We're not in an intensive care unit of some hospital. God is good. God has been good and continues to be good. Amen? But God will strengthen us. And so the question we've got to ask ourselves is, how are we going to spend our time in 2013? Seriously. How are we going to show God that we're truly devoted to him? What are we going to spend our time doing? I hope he's not watching television. I didn't get any amens. I'm going to try that again. I hope we're not going to while away our time in 2013 watching television. Not that watching television is a sin. But remember, God has to always come first. You've heard me say this before. Show me a man's schedule and show me his pocketbook and I will tell you where his heart is. We're going to talk about that in a few weeks. The Bible says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Oh, get ready. Doug is coming next week, so he's going to break my momentum. It's okay, but I'll pick it up in 2 weeks. But you see, it's all about giving our whole heart. Are we going to spend our time really getting into our Bibles, praying like we've never prayed before? Are we going to get into our Bibles with other people who don't know God and say, hey, let's sit down, let's look at the scriptures together. There's some stuff I want to show you that will change your life, that has changed my life. Amen? Amen. I believe that's what we need to spend our time doing. And people will become Christians. They will. It's always exciting sitting down with somebody who doesn't know God and showing them the scriptures. You know, when you're in the middle of it, you realize how good you have it. When people start telling you what they're going through and what they're trying to, and different things that they're looking for answers for. I say, well, yeah, I went through the same thing, but boy, God was with me. And they don't have God. And they're searching, they're seeking. Amen? But I really pray that in the year 2013, as a church, individually and collectively, we're going to spend a lot more time in prayer. We're going to start on Thursday night. Sorry, the holidays are over. We have midweek Thursday night, guys. Okay? We're just going to have a time of prayer during midweek. We're going to cry out to God. We're going to draw close to him. We're going to put different things before him. And really cry out to him again. Amen, church? That's the charge. Now let's talk about the reason. It says here, go back to 1 Chronicles 28. He says, "For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts." This is one of the most scariest verses in the entire Bible. The Bible says, God searches every heart. That means nobody is left out. Notice the word. It says he searches. He's looking for something. In 1 Samuel chapter 16 verse 7. You know the passage? When Samuel went to anoint David as king. And all his brothers came out first. And he saw the firstborn. And he thought, oh yeah, here stands the Lord's anointed. And God said, not him. See, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. Now turn to Psalm 139. See, God always looks at our hearts. He searches our hearts. In Psalm 139, see what David was able to say. In Psalm 139, in verse 1, it says, "O Lord, you have searched me, and you know me." I love this. "You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord." And it goes on. In verse 7 it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." Wonderful passage. You can study it out sometime. But the point is, David is saying, you know what? God is everywhere. You and I cannot hide from the Almighty. He perceives our thoughts from afar. Even before you say it, he already knows it. Now that's scary. You know the scary part? One day the Bible teaches that we are going to give an account for every careless word we have spoken. He knows our thoughts, everything. You got an attitude against somebody? The Lord knows it. You haven't forgiven somebody totally? God knows it. You can smile and say, "Oh, it's good to see you." God knows. We can't fool God, people. I can't fool God. We got to be very transparent with God and with one another. Because he sees everything. Jeremiah 17, turn there. Still talking about God searching our hearts. Jeremiah 17. In verse 10. It says, "I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind." Watch this. "To reward a man according to his conduct. According to what his deeds deserve." It says, God says, "I search the heart and the mind. And I'm going to reward a man according to his conduct." Not according to your wife's conduct. Or your husband's conduct. Or your children's conduct. According to your conduct. According to mine. It's all individual. Amen? "To reward a man according to his conduct, according to what his deeds deserve." The point is, brothers and sisters, whatever is there, God is going to find it. Can I get an amen? Amen. Whatever is there, he is going to find it. We can't play games with the Almighty. We can't play games. I think some of us, as we've come to the end of this year, we just need to flat repent on our commitment to God. It's time to repent. What are you waiting for? Are you waiting for God to break your legs before you wake up? Before you get your priorities right? What are you waiting for? God has intimate knowledge of everything you do and think. That's very scary. You know, it's like having Big Brother everywhere. I don't know if you saw this on the news over the holidays. You know, some people, you know, they had cameras in front of their homes. And, you know, the UPS guy or the FedEx guy will come deliver a package. And not quite 2 minutes later, you see somebody just come in, grab the package, and jump into their car and take off. It's terrible. Not once, not twice, several times. I mean, people thinking. First of all, you don't even know what you're stealing. Number two, there's no justification for that. And they think nobody's watching. Now, some of those people had cameras, and so you could see them. And I hate to say this, most of them were women. Even after the guy, you know, the FedEx guy has put the stuff behind the bushes, they just come in and just grab it, jump into their car. There's another one I saw, also I think it was this week or last week. This young lady and her mom had gone into a store and they left their dogs tied outside because, you know, the store wouldn't allow pets. And some guy just comes along, just unties the dog, just grabs it and just walks away. It was caught on camera. He now went to Central Park and he's trying to sell the dog. And so this woman walks by and says, you know, you need a dog? I'm trying to sell mine. And then kind of, you know, this is kind of strange. How much do you want for it? $220. And she paid it, and she grabbed the dog and went to the, I don't know what you call this, like an animal hospital, and there was a little tag on the dog. In the meantime, the little kid is freaking out because she's lost her dog, and she's crying. And so she calls it in, and they're able to reunite, you know, little girl and mom and dog, and they were so happy. And they showed the police cuffing the guy. God sees everything. You know, I know sometimes we feel, oh man, you know, things that people are getting very, you know, looking into my privacy. There are cameras everywhere. You got to be very careful. I'm not saying we go steal, okay? Because there are cameras everywhere. I'm saying there's a bigger camera watching you and me from heaven. That can even see into our hearts and what we're thinking. That's the point I'm making. Amen? Because whatever it is you do, God is going to find you out. Amen? It's just a question of time. Everything's going to be revealed. He can search the human heart because He designed it. He created it. Amen? So, let's serve God. Let's be truthful. Let's be honest in everything we do. That's the reason. Because God sees everything. God searches everything. Amen? And finally, let's talk about the results. Go back to 1 Chronicles. In 1 Chronicles, the second part of verse 9, it says, if you seek Him, He will be found by you. But if you forsake Him, He will reject you forever. Notice, it didn't say He will reject you for a few years, forever. This result has both a positive aspect of it, to it and a negative aspect. It says, if you and I are seeking God, we will find Him. It's all about your heart and your attitude. God says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Not with 80%, not with 85%, not with 90%. Everything you've got. When God becomes the priority, you will find Him. That one you can take to the bank. That's what the scriptures teach. But then the negative side is, says if we forsake Him, He will reject us forever. Look in Proverbs chapter 8. I'm almost done. Proverbs chapter 8. In verse 17, it simply says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me, find me. Church, does God lie? Can God lie? Is he telling the truth over here? Absolutely. And throughout the scriptures, he says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me find me. You know, again, this is the time of the year where a lot of times most people are doing a reflection on their lives, where it's been and where it's going. And you may be in that position this morning as you're seated here. If you hear nothing that I say this morning, hear this. Seek God with all your heart and you will find him. That is a guarantee. It's all about your attitude. It's all about making him the priority. Amen? Look in Psalm 9. Psalm chapter 9. We're going to look at a few more verses and then we'll be done. Psalm chapter 9. Psalm 9, verse 10. This is so encouraging. It says, those who know your name will trust in you. This is David again. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. God has never done it. Somebody that's really seeking, who never found him. Not one person. He has never forsaken those who seek him. We all know Matthew chapter 6, verse 33 by heart. You can quote it in your sleep. Where Jesus says, seek first God's kingdom and God's righteousness, and everything else will be given to you as well. He said, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Yeah, we want God to meet our needs, but he's not the priority. And all you and I need to do is make him the priority, and he promises to take care of everything else. Amen? Psalm 34. I like this one too. Psalm 34 verse 10. Actually, back up to verse 8. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him lack nothing. The lions may grow weak and hungry. But those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. Oh, I like the sound of that. Oh, you can meditate on that for a few hours. It says, the lions may grow weak and hungry, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. That's exciting. We're talking about the creator that's got all the resources. God is not stingy. He's not. He never has been. But we got to put him in his rightful place. And then he promises to meet all of our needs. Notice he doesn't say all your wants. As I'm standing up here, I have a lot of wants. Okay? One of them being a church building. There are a lot of wants. But so far, God is saying, no. What do? I keep going. I keep trusting him. In his own time. He will find us, quote unquote, our own home. Until then, we'll keep on wandering in the desert. Like we've been wandering. Okay? Amen? I actually like this theater. Okay? It's a very nice theater. But we're going to start packing this thing this year. And so we got to go somewhere else. So I need you guys to start praying. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Can you put down your prayer list? That God will give us our own home. But no good thing does he withhold from those who trust in him. These are the kind of verses that keep me going. That no matter what happens, we're not going to lack any good thing. Amen? My prayer is that we'll get to know this God better this year. But we've got to go after it with wholehearted devotion. We're all very familiar with 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in verse 58. It simply says, always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord. Same thing, same idea. Wholehearted devotion. Give your hearts fully to the work of the Lord because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Amen? If your heart were to be buried in a place you loved most during life, where would it be? In your pocketbook? In an appropriate space down at your office? Where is your heart? A number of years ago, I spent a summer teaching in Mexico. Both my children went with me. To pass the time as we drove, my 3-year-old son Larry watched for license plates. The trip to Mexico netted him plates from 24 states. And while we were there, he saw 4 more. So when we started back, he was over halfway to having collecting all 50. Our return trip was during the peak vacation season. And to top it off, we went through Yellowstone National Park, a license plate collector's paradise. By the morning of the second day there, he had just one more state to go, Delaware. Larry became obsessed with finding a license plate from Delaware. When we stopped to see Yellowstone's magnificent sights, he didn't glance at them. He preferred to run up and down the parking lots looking at license plates. Talk about stress. Talk about anxiety. You would have thought that his whole life depended on finding a Delaware license plate. When we stopped to eat in a cafeteria near Yellowstone Falls, my son begged me to let him look for license plates. "Please, I don't want to eat," Larry said. "Can I just stay here in the parking lot?" "No," we told him. "You have to eat." So he went inside and ate as quickly as he could, get the food down, and then he headed out into the parking lot. No sooner had we finished our meal, however, than Larry came bounding across the parking lot. "Come here. You've got to see it. You won't believe it if you don't see it." All of us went running out, and there, just pulling out of a parking space, was a blue Volkswagen bus with Delaware license plates. In fact, we got a picture. And even today, a decade later, when we look at our Yellowstone pictures, that's the picture that tells more about what we did in Yellowstone than anything else. Brothers and sisters, it's all about wholehearted devotion. It's all about seeking until we find what we're looking for. I wish you again a happy new year. And let's have a great year to the glory of God. God's grace be with you all. God bless.
Let's pray. Father God, thank you so much, Father, for that awesome preaching, just for your word, Father, encouraging us to get to know you better, God, and acknowledge you in all our ways, to know you better in everything that we do. God, you have given us so much this year, and we just want to thank you for all that you've done, for all the hard things that I have gone through, that each one of us has gone through, Father. Because we know it's because you love us, Father. You discipline us and you teach us things through what we learn in hardship, Father. It's an amazing thing because you're a loving Father. And I thank you so much for that, God. Please, God, just help us to wholeheartedly devote ourselves to seeking your face, to knowing you better, God, to getting to know you just as a loving Father, as a big brother, Jesus, as a best friend, and just as the Lord and Master of our lives, God, giving ourselves wholly to you, Father. Because we know that you've promised, if we seek you with all our hearts, we will find you, Father. That's a promise from you, and you do not lie, God. And I thank you for that, God. Please just help us, Father, just to do that, God, to devote ourselves every morning, God, every day, to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You're dismissed.